and maybe...
No, that's fine. Please go ahead. Please go ahead.
Teresa for the stack.
Who is working on the website?
Myself and Chris Ling, who is the person who works for the affiliates program.
Uh-huh. And who is Angie?
Angie is the woman who works at Pacifica National who does the billing for the affiliates. And presumably she receives the funds as well.
Uh-huh.
She works for Lynn Magno in the business office. But, you know, when the billing is not done through my office and the receiving of the money and the contracts is not done through my office, and this has always been a problem for me because I'm kind of flying blind, and so we're working on trying to get more in sync.
Okay, thanks.
Madam
Teresa?
Yes. A couple questions. First question, Madam Chair. I see that on the agenda it went from number one, number two, to number four. Did we do the approval?
Yes, because I took out the minutes. I didn't have the minutes.
Okay, I did send the minutes out on June the 7th.
June the 7th?
The very same night of the of our meeting, I sent them out, and I'm prepared to send them again.
Please do. I was looking for them, and I must apologize about that. So
okay, I just sent them out again. Maybe if people acknowledge that they received them, since they should have received them the first time, I'll be happy to see if we can get them approved by the end of the meeting. I want to ask a few more questions about what Ursula just reported. KOYA is our newest affiliate in Rosebud, South Dakota. Can I say that they are the Sioux tribe? Or was there some sort of word before the word Sioux?
It's the Rosebud Sioux Tribe.
Okay. And you said, have we renewed the contract with KKWE or just renewed?
Yeah, we kind of lost the thread with them for a while.
But when you say we've renewed the thread, does that mean we have a signed contract?
Yes. In fact, the contract was signed in the backyard of KPFT during the conference.
You were working really hard.
Yeah, there's no rest for the wicked. Yeah, I mean, the thing is that, you know, Arlene was there as well, so it was a perfect opportunity just to take care of business. So I had both of those contracts signed and copied and done at the party. So that, in fact, I kind of drove Dwayne crazy because I was trying to get access to his coffee machine.
Okay. You agreed to resend a request to people that want to be on the Pacifica announce list. Does that mean that you have to send them an invitation and they literally have to send, you know, a request to be
no,
on that list?
The Pacifica announce is set up that I can add you automatically, mm-hmm. but some people's email reject Yahoo. This is
okay.
pretty common.
Okay.
So it doesn't always work. So, you know, I just do the best I can.
Okay. Pacifica, and I want to remind people that Pacifica, now correct me if I'm wrong, Pacifica announce are announcements that programmers and general managers see, and it says things like, you know, this is what this show is like, and this is who Helen Caldicott will be interviewing this week, or, you know, this is when we will have special programming available on the elections or such. So most people who see that are programmers, and it's not a list for, like, discussing things. Have you had any other complaints with anyone that wanted to be on that list that has said that they haven't gotten on?
Well, Campbell just said he didn't get on.
But is there anyone else on this call that wanted on that didn't hear?
I think, Kim, you're on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. And you did say that you did confirm that I hadn't noticed that we thought that the newsletter was linked to the Pacifica Network website, but I can understand why you would say that. And are you saying that right now if we try to get on to PacificaNetwork.org, we can't get on?
I think you'll probably see the old website.
Okay. All right. Well, and you did confirm that you were going to send a financial report to the PNB meeting in Berkeley if Campbell states what he wants in that report.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
I may indulge for a minute, an editorial statement. For us to do this newsletter and not make it a website is just totally insane. I mean, that's like, you know, living in the past. It's just like there's no question that we have to do this. So that's just where I'm at.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. So I'm still looking for, I must apologize to everyone. I've changed computers. So in this past month, and I'm losing things. So I apologize that I couldn't find your minutes. So I look forward to seeing those.
Well, I sent it, so everyone should actually have it by now. I did not know that Margie Murray was on this committee, so we have not been sending, to my knowledge, she is not on our listserv, and therefore she would not get the minutes when I send them out. So if you can get with Kim or someone who can give you my email, I will be happy to put you
on this This is Margie, so Kim could either forward it to me or whatever.
If Kim has your email address and phone and she can send that to Ursula and Heather and me, then we can get you on.
Too much. That sounds great.
I have Margie's email address, so I'll send it to you.
All right. I will look for that, and Ursula needs it too to get it on the listserv, correct?
If you want to be on Pacifica Announce.
Well, actually, I got affiliates. I got the notice.
Oh.
I got a reminder notice from the PMB at kpfktx.org.
Yeah, no, Teresa's right. In order to put you on the affiliates listserv, I need your email address.
Oh, no problem.
Okay, well, I'm not talking about Pacifica Announce. I'm talking about the Pacifica affiliates listserv, where we converse about affiliates matters and where I send out the minutes. So,
sounds good.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So I wanted to
the Pacifica Network's Facebook page. So if any of you are on Facebook, you might want to like the network page.
So I'd like to move on to the survey. Ursula, could you report just briefly on the summary? You were surprised or pleasantly surprised about some of the responses?
Well, yeah, I think it's really interesting, and I'm really excited that we're doing this because the information is just very, very helpful. Some of the things that I thought were kind of interesting, I think, is as you know, in the email I wrote, I think we've had 14 responses after two requests, and that alone is just an interesting statistic. It just shows how hard it is to get people to do surveys. Some of the things I thought were really surprising and interesting was that in terms of what kind of niche audiences that they identified, the people interested in the environment was the highest. It was like 92% of the people that have answered. So I thought that was really an interesting statistic. And also the LGBT was 83%. So those are two topics that are communities of interest that seem to really play a role here. That I wouldn't have known that. The other thing I thought was really interesting was that the largest way by far people used AudioPort mostly as a daily download facility. So that means people are really using it as part of their daily broadcast, resources. That was a heavier usage than I expected. And the other thing was interesting is that 88% that they said they cherry pick, which was also really interesting. I thought people used it more for regularly syndicated programming. Now, again, this is only 14 stations, so, you know, who knows? If we're coming up with some sort of statistic specific to people who are more prone to answer surveys. So we'll see how this looks, you know, when we ask more people. The other thing that I thought was really interesting was when we asked them for local partnerships, what was by far the most predominant types of partnerships they had was with business. And
Say that again?
The 90% said that the most important partnerships were with local businesses. So I think that really kind of made a statement about the viability of the Portal Project, which is an attempt to kind of sort that out and, you know, kind of proactively begin to, I don't know if the word is exploit is the right word, but to, you know, use that as a resource is, you know, our connection to ethical businesses. In terms of when they were asked if people were interested in a network-wide fundraising project, 71% said yes, and only 9% said no. One statistic that I thought was really weird was that 29% people said they were using automation systems they would not recommend. It's kind of a strange, you know, portrait of frustration. And the other thing that was really interesting was the largest targeted ethnic group was by far the Latinos. That kind of surprised me, too. Other things that were kind of noteworthy was that people are expressing frustration about not enough music in AudioPort. There's a real desire for that. There was a significant interest in the task force itself. And the highest form of management of stations was by boards. And that's a fact that I might not have understood, except for the fact that I'm building a station here now in Ames, and I kind of understand now that when a station is all volunteer run, that that's kind of a structure that emerges just kind of naturally. 71% said that they would air coverage of the presidential debates if Pacifica provided that. So that was kind of a significant piece of information, too. So, you know, there was a lot more. I think those of you who read through it, you know, will find much more there. I mean, it's, you know, people give colorful answers. They're very honest and open and good-willed. You really get a sense of the spirit of our relationship as one of real sincerity. Campbell, do you have a Gmail account, Campbell?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Is that the email account you wrote to me from?
And no, I sent it from this Verizon thing. Well,
yes.
I just sent it as a response, I believe. Or I don't know if I had to compose a separate deal. But when I got to the place, you know, after I clicked on that link, it indicated that I had to be approved in order to be able to access the site.
Well, it was weird because when I tried it, it just went right through. But, you know, computers, they collect information about their clients. So what Chris said to me was you have to have a Gmail account to be approved.
I've got one.
At the last meeting, I asked anybody who wanted to look at this to send me their Gmail account. So if you send me your Gmail account, I'll ask Chris how to get that approval, but I do think it has to be a Gmail account.
Okay, I'll send you the Gmail email address.
And if anybody else wants to see the entire survey, send me your Gmail account and I'll give you access. It's kind of interesting. I mean, there's a lot more information on the survey than the summary had room to show. But I love the fact that they made all those pie charts and graphs. It was very cool. I didn't do that. I didn't do that. Don't think that I stayed up all night doing this. Google does it automatically.
Okay. I heard Lawrence for the Stack. I would like to be on Stack also.
Who is that? Lawrence?
Yes,
sorry?
Lawrence. Yeah, Lawrence.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, please.
Oh, okay. Just a question, Ursula. In regards to being surprised that the Latino was the targeted population. If it wasn't Latino, what population what community would you have thought would have been?
I don't know. I mean, this was a question about ethnicities. So white people were, despite the advocacy from a number of people, that was not listed as one of the groups. So the second largest group was African American, and that's what I think I would have thought it would have been. The reason why I was surprised about Latino is because there's not a very high demand for Spanish programming. So that says to me that there's a Latino audience, but they're not necessarily asking for content in Spanish, that they're looking for English content. That's what I'm
Madam
hearing.
Madam Chair, just a follow-up?
Sure.
In regards to the communities where you say that there isn't a demand for Spanish language programming, can you maybe give me an idea of what areas or what states or what communities, just briefly?
That these stations are in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, one of the reasons why I think Latino was high in this particular was because Rip Robbins answered, and Rip is in, he's in Washington State. My mind's blanking out. And he has a, his station is almost more, it's more than 50% Spanish station. His audience is Latino. Let me take a look at these stations. WRIR is Richmond, Virginia. KPFL is Bend, Oregon. KKFI is Kansas City. WNHN is New Hampshire. I can't remember where. Some small town in New Hampshire. WPRR is in Michigan, in a big city in Michigan. I can't remember which one. It's not
Detroit.
I think it's. I'm sorry, I can't
Lansing?
Remember.
Maybe Lansing.
It might. I think it's Lansing. WAZU is Peoria, Illinois. KGHI. That's in. I don't remember where that is.
Well, I appreciate that, Ursula. I appreciate
yeah,
that.
KZFR is Pico, California. KSVR is Rip Station, which
Mount
is Vernon, in Mount Everett. Washington, WESU is Stanford, is Middletown, Connecticut. That's Wesleyan University. WOOL is in a small town in Vermont. The KMCR, that's somewhere in upstate New York. And WOJB is northern Wisconsin. That's the Ojibwe station.
Okay.
So those are the people. See, that's also, I think, why Native Americans rated relatively high here as well because of the WOJV. So, you know, granted, this is still a very limited cross-section of the network that we're looking at.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, for those responses. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I was actually really excited to see how large Latino audiences figured in it because I think there's a lot of, you know, wonderful potential for new programming that I'd love to see happen. So I was very encouraged by that.
Thank you. I feel encouraged as well. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lawrence. So I was wondering if we could go on to a discussion about where we go now with the survey, how we should approach this. And one of the reasons I was so pleased to have these minutes again from Teresa is that the last meeting we talked about this, and there were a few folks who expressed interest in doing these surveys, and this is what we have so far. Cynthia Johnson expressed interest in interviewing some stations in California. Kim Kaufman did the same. Heather Gray said she'd interview Native American stations. Dina Colbert, Teresa Allen and Campbell Johnson and Lawrence also offered to call some stations, but I don't think they have specifics about where they would like to or what state or whatever they'd like to do those interviews. But anyway, that's what we have so far. So, Ursula, how do you recommend? Yes.
Point of information.
Yes.
That's for Cynthia Johnson.
Yes, Cynthia Johnson.
Okay. I noted that on several committees on which she serves, the email address we have for her is not a good one that's current. And I sent a note to, I think, to Barbara Wipperman in Berkeley that we needed a new email address for her. So,
Campbell, I'll send you. This is Chandra. I'll send you her email address right now.
Oh, okay.
And actually, Chandra, I'm so glad to hear your voice. Actually, I was also talking with Cynthia today, and I have her new email address as well. So, I think we're okay on that.
Well, this is Teresa. Just in case we do not have, just in case I do not have a changed address, would you CC me on that also?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, Madam Chair, I think it may be helpful for the task force as a whole to have, you know, the most updated emails and telephone numbers so that, you know, if folks want to make contact on their own, they can go ahead and do it. But, you know, I think that would be helpful for everyone to have.
I agree. That's a great idea. So we'll do that as well.
Okay.
A question, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Did you mention Luke Jones also offered to call affiliates?
I'm just is that Luke Jones?
Yes.
L. Jones? Okay. Lawrence, you were in the last. Didn't you offer to do some interviews as well? Or were you?
Well, I wouldn't mind doing them. I just need what stations you want me to approach.
Exactly. So we're going to have that discussion now. So that's Luke Jones. My apology. Okay. So Ursula, how do you propose that we move forward on this? I think we talked about also having some training on this, I think.
We talked about a training phone call, right?
A special training phone call. Yeah, we did.
Yeah. So I guess that training phone call would involve talking about the script, assigning names of stations, and some sort of question and answer for anything else that seemed unclear. My question to you as members of the task force is, how many stations are you willing to, should I give you in the first batch? What is a reasonable number that we should kind of start with our first round per person? Three stations between now and the next task force meeting, and then we see how it went. Does that make sense?
Question. I was just wondering, how long do you anticipate it would take for, per interview?
I think you need to put aside maybe 45 minutes.
Okay, then three sounds like a good idea to me.
You also have to realize that there's, a lot of these involve more than one phone call.
Right, right. Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
According to my calculations, we would interview about 24 stations altogether between now and then.
Well, I think that's a reasonable chunk of work.
I agree. So I want to revisit, when do we decide now that we wanted to get this done by?
Well, I tend to think one step at a time, so I'm thinking we do this between now and the next task force meeting so that at the next task force meeting we kind of have an opportunity to regroup and then decide where we go from here. I think by that time we'll all have a better sense of, you know, if we can move faster or not, or, you know.
Right. So, so there are some people like Chandra. Would you have time to do some of this as well?
Yes.
Interviews?
Yes.
Okay. So that's Chandra and Lawrence as well. And John? Would you be able to do some interviews as well? John from WBAI, are you there? Hello? Did we lose him? Maybe we lost him. So then I have Cynthia Johnson, Kim. That's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine people. So now, when could we do the training? Is that something we could do next week, maybe? What's the pleasure of everyone here?
How long will the training take?
How long do you think it'll
take? I think we should keep it to an hour.
Okay.
To an hour.
Yeah.
So do we want to try for next week, or is that too soon? What's the pleasure of the group?
I would be willing to take training after this meeting if we turned off the stream, just so I had what I needed to do. But I realize some people might not want to do that. Because it's going to be, a challenge to find one date that all of us can get on the line.
Yeah, I was just thinking that Wednesday would be bad for me because I've got a board meeting then.
Does somebody have a bird?
It sounds like a bird, doesn't it?
Maybe
no.
Mr. Verizon has a bird.
Lauren Stack?
But if people could mute their phone if they're not talking, that usually helps a bit. Yes, Lawrence.
Just a real quick question. Is there also going to be a written script?
Yeah, I can provide a written script.
I probably
can't do it within the next right now, but I can, you know, I can do it by tonight. But, if you really want to do this training today, we can do it. We can figure it out, and I'll just provide a written script afterwards.
Folks,
okay.
I won't be able to do it today because I am sick, and I'm not even going to be able to stay on the call.
Oh,
so,
Chandra, that's bad.
I mean, it's not serious, but I don't have the strength to stay on and, you know, deal with that.
So I think it would be a good idea, actually. I think going ahead with the training is not a bad idea. It's just that I don't think that everyone has probably had a chance to just look at the survey like they could or should. I'm assuming that's the case. I know there were some of us who were working on it before, and I know that Ursula's been trying to get us all to look at it, but I'm assuming that probably is not the case. It would be a good idea for everyone, I think, to look through it carefully to have a better feel for this before we go into the training. That's my thinking on this. And then
with
the script, that would certainly be helpful. We could look at that as well so that we're better prepared for the training to make sense to everyone or to resonate with everyone. But I could easily be countered. That's my thinking on this.
Yeah.
Teresa for the stack?
Yes, Teresa, go ahead.
All right. Well, I would be happy to stay for a half an hour after this meeting is over to have Ursula go over the training with me. I'm looking at my schedule. I do have a little difficulty. I cannot do it Wednesday night, and I think there might be a PNB meeting next Thursday.
At the point of information, if I may, I think that meeting for the 12th has been canceled.
Okay.
That's from the coordinating committee.
You're not just tricking me, are you, Campbell?
I'm not that kind of guy. Come on now.
Okay.
but next week we have on Monday strategic financial recovery. Tuesday is National Finance Committee, and then Wednesday I've got a WPFW, and there are several other board meetings on Wednesday. So Thursday, I think, would be about the best day if we were to do it on a Thursday. And maybe we could do it at 8:30 if that time would work out, and I would be pleased to participate.
So maybe people could have a choice. You know, if they could do it tonight, fine, and then if not, they could maybe try Thursday.
Sure. Let me, while I was checking through my notes, I wanted to share another point of information pertaining to the newsletter. I don't recall this time around that there was any mention
made of the subject matter, including technology. But I do recall from our last meeting, conference call, that there's mention, Ursula had mentioned that we've got several, a few stations with alternative power, water, solar, and wind. And this is something that I think, you know, could be very helpful to include in, you know, as a regular kind of feature of this. And the mention that was made of the the programs or automation that was not working, I don't think that we would get into any trouble by just expressing that so-and-so had bad experience with XYZ program and, you know, let the vendor know about that. If they want to put anything, you know, if they want to have a response to it, then they can. I mean, but I think that, you know, the idea for part of the idea for the newsletter is that everybody doesn't have to make the same mistakes that everybody else made, you know, and this could be of value in just moving things forward.
I'm sorry, Campbell, did you change topics going from the survey to the newsletter?
I segued back because we there was a point that I had intended to bring up when we were talking about the newsletter, but we hadn't, and we had previously mentioned that we would have technology as a possible recurring section in the newsletter, and I just wanted to make mention that since someone had indicated that a station or more, you know, more than one station are having problems with some aspect of technology, I think it's very helpful if we can share information on that.
Good point. Thank you. So, Ursula, are you up for staying on a little bit tonight for those of us who could stay on to talk about this a little bit?
Sure. I'm happy to stay as long as is helpful.
Okay, thanks. So is there anybody? And Margie, I must apologize. I know you haven't been able to be on these calls, so if you're interested in doing some of these surveys of the stations, that would be great.
Sure. In fact, it might be nice if I could partner with Kim. Maybe we could double team, you know.
That sounds good.
Okay, what were you asking? Everybody to take three?
We're talking about taking three.
Yeah, I think
right.
I could be up to it if I have the training.
Okay, that'd be great. Good.
And is Margie's name Margymurray?
Actually, it's Margie.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, what I'd like to be able to do is just to, the next item on the agenda is AMARC. So I was wondering, Ursula, could you talk, putting you on the spot a lot here a little bit, could you talk a little bit about that and what we might want to do at the board meeting in Berkeley?
Well, at the last task force meeting, I sent out a copy of the proposal that we were going to bring to NFCB, and I suggested that the task force consider bringing this to the Pacifica National Board. So, I it's not for me to decide this. I recommend it. I think that I would like to see it happen.
So let's go over again what we would want the Pacifica Board to do. We'd like them to endorse the proposal, to sign Pacifica's name onto the proposal.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
And then we also talked about Pacifica perhaps becoming a member of AMARC. Is that right?
Yeah. And Arlene sent me an email asking how much that costs and whether affiliates could join through Pacifica. To be honest, I haven't been able to get a straight answer from AMARC yet about what the cost is. I don't think it's not a huge amount. It's not as much as NFCB. I don't think that stations can affiliate through Pacifica because in AMARC, membership goes through individual stations. It doesn't. And networks have a different type of membership, but it's not the kind of membership that membership goes through stations. So I don't think that MARC would cooperate with something like that. It would go against their governance structure.
So it wouldn't be possible for Pacifica to be a member and then all of its stations to be members?
Well, no, what Arlene asked is whether the affiliates could be a member of MARC
through the affiliation.
And I don't think MARC would go along with that.
Right, okay. All right.
But as far as our cost, I haven't been able to get that answer from MARC. It's you think Pacifica is cumbersome. MARC is this even more cumbersome bureaucracy. So I'm still trying to get that answer, but I know it's not a huge amount of money. And I will get that answer before the board meeting. One of the things I was suggesting was that what NFCB does is they, on their membership form, they put a question saying, you know, would you like to join MARC? And so that's a way of encouraging people to affiliate with MARC as well as NFCB. And that's probably what I would suggest Pacifica do as well.
Could I just Campbell, good. I just want to ask Ursula just one more question here. I was wondering, I know you've said this before, Ursula, but just briefly, how would AMARC benefit from Pacifica being a member, and how would Pacifica benefit from this as well?
Well, I think AMARC would benefit because there would be an understanding developed that there is a community radio network in the United States. And that's important for community radio stations in other countries to know. It's also not insignificant that community radio, the United States was one of the founders. Pacifica was one of the founders of community radio, and it's a part of the heritage that seems to have disappeared. And that, I don't think that's ever a good thing. Also, on a more practical level, you know, we have assets in terms of, believe it or not, in terms of technology and infrastructure that a lot of stations don't have in AMARC. And so there would be a benefit in that way, possibly, to them. Conversely, I think it's a very beneficial for Pacifica as well as any North American radio station to understand that they're part of a world movement, and that Pacifica is not an isolated organization, and that many of the problems that and this is also, I think, why it's good for AMARC. I think it's time for people in a lot of the countries in AMARC to realize that a lot of the problems that they are experiencing are being shared by many populations in the United States now. Like, you know, land grabs and water rights and property, you know, a lot of the issues, cultural genocide, a lot of the issues that they think they only have that are actually happening here. And conversely, it would be benefit for us here in the United States to know that we're part of a movement and that we share these issues with, you know, many, many people beyond us. And a lot of people outside of the United States are politically very sophisticated and are struggling for the kind of media rights that we have inherited naturally, and it's an incredible awareness process when you begin to understand, you know, what an amazing thing the First Amendment is, because you see people literally dying all over the world to have that kind of, you know, right. So it's a point of connection. It normalizes us. It puts us in the context of the world. And I think that for our own safety, as you know, the country turns more to the right, that we need to know where our friends are. And they're not just in the United States. A lot of them are moving ahead outside of the United States. So, you know, it's joining the rest of the world, which I think is only good for everybody.
Yeah, thanks, Ursula. So, Campbell, you had a question or comment.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I first was curious about, would it be possible that we could offer a discount for, you know, not for free, I understand that, but a discount for affiliates that were to sign up through Pacifica. And, you know, that could be something of a benefit for the affiliates, and also it would open them to maybe a, 20% discount that, they wouldn't have to pay full amount, to be engaged with AMARC. So, you know, this is something that I think can be offered if we can, and in this way we'd be in a position to position Pacifica as something more of a one-stop shop, so to speak.
Are you suggesting that Pacifica pick up the remaining cost?
That if a Pacifica affiliate were to sign up, that Pacifica would be given by them a 20% discount, because otherwise they may not get this affiliate at all.
You mean Pacifica would give them a 25% discount on their affiliation fee?
Let me go through it a little bit more slowly. That AMARC would allow members of Pacifica a 20% discount.
I doubt that they would do that.
How is that to their advantage?
Their advantage, because otherwise they may not get the station at all.
Well,
may not get the membership at all.
We can ask them, but I mean, it's always worth asking, Campbell. My guess is they're not interested in something like that.
And half a loaf is better than, no loaf at all. And that 20% could be the difference between someone affiliating and not affiliating. So,
well, we can always ask.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can speak for them. I'm not sure that I want to do – I have mixed feelings about that, to be honest.
Well,
point of information when he's finished.
Let me just share one last point on this. We're looking at this, hopefully, and in fact, I think some of our discussion was that we're looking at being part of an international movement. And, if we're going to be encouraging this, we might as well have some financial encouragement that would support that and support other folk getting involved in that context. So, this would be a win-win all the way around.
Point of information.
Yes, go ahead, Teresa.
Ursula, can you tell us approximately how many people are members of AMARC? Approximately how many are people members of AMARC, or are stations members of AMARC?
It can be either, I think.
Okay, now Elizabeth Robinson of Santa Barbara, she has been a member of AMARC. Is her station a member too, like?
Probably is.
And Jim from Austin?
Yeah.
He's a member.
Yeah.
Can you tell us how much it costs for a station to be a member?
I'm telling you, I couldn't get that information, so okay. I will post it as soon as I can get it.
Okay, and do you have any idea how many stations or how many people are members of AMARC?
No, but I can look it up on the website here, and they probably say.
Did AMARC say that if we were to become a member, do we become a member as a network or as five individual stations?
Well, I think both are possible.
If membership is only $5, I think it'd be ridiculous to ask for a 20% discount.
Sure.
So I think it's premature to ask about a discount because we really don't know what that amount is.
It says here it's with almost 4,000 members and associates in 130 countries. I think that, what I think would be maybe a good idea would be to talk this over with Norm Stockwell.
Well, that's a good idea.
Politically, it's a little bit of an awkward thing for me to go to AMARC and ask for a discount because we're probably still considered the richest country that could possibly be part of AMARC, and they're not particularly motivated to have Americans involved in the first place. They're not looking for that.
I'm looking at the site right now as well. So
The fees for becoming a member doesn't seem very much.
Where do you find that? Where is that?
$30.
Is that what it says? Federations
are $175 associate members, or $25. It just, you know, seems it's not much at all. In fact, they should probably raise the fee. But that's what it says here under fees. It has the categories are raised.
Got it. Yeah, I got it.
Federation.
So that's nothing, right?
So it's not really. Yeah.
So yeah, would we be a federation?
I think
probably
we would be considered. Yeah.
Well, I don't think $175 for five stations is exorbitant.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and it's $30 for a station.
And that's for North America, right? So North America, yeah.
So thank you, Heather, for finding that.
No, it's okay.
I'm not capable of finding it. Thank you.
Oh, that's quite all right. All right. So that's kind of negligible, really. So so I think what we need is an understanding. There's the category of radio groups and production groups, and then what in federations, which we think would specifically would be, and then associate members, we need to find out what that means, I guess. And maybe that's defined here somewhere as well. Here, an association or a federation is a grouping of community radio stations that is controlled by its membership. It can be national, regional, or international. A production group is a not-for-profit group or association with a democratic participatory structure or an association of such groups, which operates in an area where there is no community radio station. And then a community radio station itself, the station that responds to the needs of the community.
What an associate is. I think an associate is an individual like Jim Ellinger.
Okay.